Praise God. Hallelujah. The Bible says that God inhabits the praises of his people. Amen. I tell you, you know, I was saying about the walls of Jericho when Joshua went in and they marched around that city 7 days. You know what praise did and worship did? Amen. Brought the walls down. Amen. And that's what we want here. We want the walls down. Hallelujah. God wants to do something in this Potter's Hands Church like you've never seen before. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise is arising. Praise and worship is arising unto the living God. Amen. And I tell you, when we do that by purpose, by intention, look out. Look out. There's a day coming. There's a time coming when we're going to hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind in this place. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. It's a coming. It's a coming. Hallelujah. It cannot be stopped. No devil in hell can stop it. In Jesus' mighty name, the worship, hallelujah, is going to rise. It's going to rise up from this place. And you're going to behold it with your eyes. Hallelujah. And it's not going to be the church like the same old church as it was. It's going to be transformed by the Spirit of the living God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Oh, I tell you, man alive, I love worship. I'm addicted. I'm addicted to worship. I am. Hallelujah. It'll never stop. It'll never wane. It'll always, always rise up within me. Always. My brothers, my sisters, we're going to be there for eternity. Eternity. Beholding the Lamb of God. I tell you, it's coming. It's coming. Hallelujah. Get ready. Bible says get ready. Prepare yourself. The Bible says prepare yourself. He's a coming. I tell you, my God, you cannot do this and get nothing from it. I tell you, these praises reach into the heavenly realm. In the Spirit of God, before the throne of God, the Almighty God of the whole earth, the universe. I tell you, when he hears that, I tell you, oh, he goes like this. Oh, oh, that's my people. That's my people. I bought them. I purchased them by the power of my blood. My son purchased these people. Hallelujah. He purchased us. Oh, God. Hallelujah. My heart cries out. Oh, God. I cry out for a move of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. I've had a little taste. I've had a little taste. But there's a more coming. There's more coming, friends. Brothers, there's more coming. So let's persevere. When we come into worship, just lay every trouble beside you. Just lay it all down. Amen? Lay it all down. Whatever this week has happened, lay it all down. And just focus on the Lamb of God. He surrounds himself with light. And I was just like, wow, unapproachable light. Just light. Oh, man. Praise God. Anyway, my sister, Levina, is just going to share. Sorry I got carried away. I praise God. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. And I love the Holy Spirit. I love the Godhead. Hallelujah. My sister here was over in Kenya. So I asked her this morning, I says, how come you don't have a tan? You know, if I was over there, man, I'd come back. I'd be like this. You know. So here she is. And she's just going to share just a little bit.
I stand in awe. I really do. Jesus is so amazing. And, you know, the Bible says to go into all nations and preach the gospel to every living creature and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And, you know, I sat in church for a lot of years. I heard that message. And I've sat with a lot of different people that hear the same message. And one lesson I learned is, like, it's basically a question. It's like, what is the difference between listening and hearing? Okay? You're listening to me. You're listening to me, but are you hearing me? The word says the difference between listening and listening is you're just listening, right? But hearing is you're listening with the intent to do. So I've gone to Kenya, I've gone to Nigeria, I've gone to South Africa, I've gone and done the work that the Lord's called me to do. And probably the best thing that I probably would say I come back from it is the love of God, because you cannot do this work without truly loving the Lord. Because you go into a country where you don't understand the language, you have to use interpreters. And like when I stood in front of the church to speak there, they tell me that I speak very fast. And I don't really clue into that because, you know, going to a different culture, they tell me you speak too fast, Levina. So I'm up there and I'm speaking, but at the same time, there's the pastor interpreting what I'm saying. And I'm speaking and I'm carrying on, and all of a sudden I lose track because I'm listening to what he's saying, and that totally messed me up. And so I turn to see what he's doing over there, and all of a sudden they say, well, Levina, you're speaking too fast. He can't understand you. So he messed me up, I mess him up, and then the whole church begins laughing. And I'm like, oh, man, like it's so embarrassing. But you truly can't do that work without walking in the love of Christ, because it's like you make so many mistakes, and you truly just have to work to understand each other, to humble yourself and just be able to work through the differences. And so one of the things I come back with the most is just like the love of Christ. I had a lady come from Oregon with me, and I had a pastor from Nigeria and a pastor from Kenya and then me from Canada. So we had four different countries on this mission together in one village. And so also the way they work there, the love that they show is just, it's just phenomenal, the way they love, you know, the way they love, the way they accept visitors, the way they're so welcoming. And even Jesus says, like, when you go into a place and the way they welcome you, if they accept you, stay, remain in that place, right? So because they have welcomed me, they have welcomed my God, right? So it's not just me. It's so much deeper than that, and it just means so much to me. So I'll share just a bit about what we did when I was there. Like, we're in Bungoma, Kenya, and we're building a training center for young ladies. When it's complete, there'll be four young ladies that'll come into this building, and they will get skills, because there's like a lot of poverty in Africa and not jobs and all that kind of stuff. So basically, these ladies will live in this house for 4 years. When the training center is complete, they'll get sewing, baking, computers, a library. We'll have all that in the building. They'll come in under a house mama who will watch over them and make sure that they're being trained. And then as people travel with me over there and impart into them, that's like where we'll stay when we go for missions. And then we went out into a hospital. We did a day where we did missions in the hospital. And that was a very hard, challenging day. So, I mean, challenge to grow, challenge to reach out. But I think the hardest part of that day was we came across a child that was 3 years old, but was the size of a six-month-old baby. It had been so dehydrated and so malnourished that it was the size of a six-month-old baby. And I sat on the bed with the baby. The baby was naked. I put my hand on it. I prayed for the child. Inside, the legs were so raw, just cut wide open with sores. And as I put my hand on the baby and prayed for the baby, like, kind of closed its eyes and just felt peace. And then also there was another one there that day. She basically had come in, give birth to a child. She lost her baby during childbirth. So I asked if I could pray with her. So I went, I prayed with her. And then after that, the pastor gave her some money to help meet her physical needs to take care of herself. And then, so that's basically what we do when we help people, is like also give them some cash to help for their physical needs, right? And then we went home and the pastor came and told me 3 days later that the baby died. So that was really difficult, because that's only one. Like, that's only one. And so many, they need education. They need it so bad. And the people that I work with, they're working really hard, going out doing community conferences, trying to educate their people, trying to train them. Like, how do you let a baby go so long that it's in such a condition like this that it dies? Even before I went, one of my good friends, I have a year-and-a-half-old baby. This baby, he received healing at 1.5 weeks old. He almost died from kidney failure. The hospitals were closed. He couldn't get treatment. And so basically his kidney shut down. His feet turned black. His toes fell off, like crazy stuff that I've never seen before in my life. He lived. Jesus healed him. He lived. And then, like, just before I went, his dad took him upstairs to a third-story apartment building, left him outside playing, and the kid fell from the third-story balcony, and he lived. And I'm like, how is this kid even alive? Like, how is he even alive? And I sat there in front of his mom and dad playing with a little boy, and I'm like, how is he even alive? And they said, Levina, I'm telling you, not even 1 week ago, there was a baby that fell from a bed to the floor, and it died. This baby fell from the third-story balcony, and he lived. He's had two miracles in a year and a half. And I'm like, I think God's really trying to get your attention here. You know, like, you better start cluing in that, you know what, God wants you to take care of this kid because he's given him to you. And I said, if you were in Canada, like, that would be considered neglect. That baby would be gone from you. But in Africa, like, I said, you know, the negligence, the knowledge they need in childcare, child safety, it's such a huge teaching that needs to be taught there, how to train your children, how to care for your children. It is so needed. They need people to come help teach. They need people to come help train, to mentor these young people how to care for their families. And the last thing we did, we were with building the training center. So basically, we had worked all year. I had five ladies that were supposed to come with me from New York. They all had a plan that they were coming with me for this mission. And then when they were supposed to put their deposit down to come, three of them backed out. After that, 2 months before we're going, another one backed out. And at the end, the very last one, she backed out on me. And so the lady that did come with me, we're telling her, you know, how we had this plan, we had our money all set to finish building this house for the widow. And after she heard our story of all these ladies backing out, she just says, I will give the $5,000 to finish the house. So we had a miracle money come in right on the spot. We figured we needed five people to accomplish this, and God gave us one. And I said, you know what? God's been so good to us. Like, we figured we needed this, but that wasn't God's plan. God's plan was that one was going to come and one was going to do the work. And it impacted and changed her life so much. So that was really, really, truly an amazing miracle. The third thing we did while we were there, we did water filters for the poor in the community. We raised money for Sawyer water filtration systems. So I think I'm not sure if I shared that before I left, but like 613 people die a day in Africa due to dirty water, which is like typhoid, cholera, and diarrhea. They die from that. So in the poor areas, they have like a water well where it's down deep. They pull their own water out of the ground, but it's not filtered. So basically, it's not really clean to be drinking. So we took the filters over, we bought water containers. We did like where we went house to house, we demonstrated. We attached the filter to the buckets, and we gave each family one of these water filtration systems. And the guy that mentors me from Nigeria, he has one in his house, and they've used it for 5 years, and nobody in the house has been sick in 5 years. So we took 12 water filtration systems, and there's usually about six people per family, so we're looking at least 72 lives that we helped save.
Yeah. Amen. Stan? Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise God. God's moving throughout the earth. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord God, I just want to pray for Pastor Stan. Lord God, as he brings forth the word this morning, Holy Spirit, just give him those words. Let those words come out of his innermost being like rivers of living water into a dry and dusty land in our hearts and our lives. So I pray for the hearts here that they would be open to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to each of us individually. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen. So one of the things that we normally do when someone speaks in tongues, and Alvin was speaking in tongues for a few minutes here, is just ask for if there's anyone who has an interpretation of that. And I'm not asking you, if you're thinking about it now, then God didn't give you that interpretation. So was there anyone who, while Alvin had that word of tongues, is there anyone who has an interpretation of that? Okay, thanks, Louis. You want to just use this?
What you were speaking of before, Stan, about how in certain religions there's all these divisions, and it was just a unifying force that I said that he was saying, unity, unity, stop this separation of religions, all about Christ, all about what he did.
Amen. Amen. That's good. That's good. Amen. Okay, good. All about unity, because it's important that we know what the Spirit of God is trying to say to us, right? Otherwise, like it says in Corinthians, it's just a bunch of jabble. We don't get it, right? But God uses tongues. He uses the prophetic word. He uses knowledge. He uses lots of different ways to communicate truth. And we want to stay on the truth. So this is a message of God saying to us, be united. Stand together. Don't be offended. stand together, be one with all your brothers and sisters in Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So if you're new here today or you haven't been here many times, welcome. We just love Jesus. And sometimes that bursts, you know, because we have a lot to be excited about. We've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen? Okay. It's good news, right? And if it's good news, we have every reason to express that with exuberance, and we've did that with worship, and we've, you know, so glad to hear what's going on with the ministry there. Alvina was a part of and continues to be a part of, and God is moving. God is moving. And he's moving by his Spirit, and he continues to lead us too, and we're excited about a lot of the cool things that he's doing in our church. I want to just give you a couple things before we open the Word, just sort of things you need to remember. In 2 weeks, we have our friends from Medicine Hat, the Global Prayer House, are coming here. So they're going to be leading the service at Lotus on Friday night, and they're just Spirit-filled, and they're going to be teaching us on Saturday and on Sunday. They're going to take most of the service on Sunday, and they're going to be teaching us about the Holy Spirit. So it's going to be about the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit and how the Spirit produces the prophetic revelation. So those are some of the themes, and I encourage you to come. Come Friday night, 7 o'clock. They got a great worship team, and talking about unity, that's where we all get together. The whole church comes together, and we worship God at the Lotus Club as we continue to pray for what God's purpose is for that building. And I need you to know, no, it's not this Friday. It's 2 weeks. December 7th, thank you. And we continue to pray for what the purpose is of God, you know, for that building. And just, you know, a quick update is that we have a date now, and our, you know, there's a committee. I'm not on that committee, but there's a whole bunch of people on that committee. And there's a date now in January where the city council, and hopefully the whole city council, will go with our committee to the Calgary Dream Center to see what's going on there. Amen. And I just read yesterday that the Calgary Dream Center has an 85% success rate for people who stay at the Dream Center for more than 6 months. 85%. We want to see people get free from their addictions. Amen. We want to see them, see those chains fall off. And we believe that one of the ways, we need to get city council behind us. They need to support this. But they need to see it with their eyes. They need to see that there's a solution. They need to see that there's a better way than to just give needles out. That we have a better solution than that. We have a better answer than that. And that answer is Jesus, and that he heals the brokenhearted. He binds us, right? He binds our wounds. So remember to pray for that. It's late, it's like in the 20s, January the 22nd or 3rd or something, that whole team's going to go together. And we believe that God's got a great purpose for that building. And we just, it's hard. Like, this is not easy for me. I'm not good at waiting. But this is about waiting and waiting and just waiting. And God says, just wait. I will show you. Don't run ahead of me, because if you run ahead of me, you won't get my best for you. Just wait. I have my plans for you are plans to prosper you. My plans for you are to use you as healers and to bring hope and to bring deliverance to people who need it so badly. Just wait. And he wants his church to be united. That's been sort of the theme right from the very beginning. One of the things we knew right from the start was that this is not going to work. This is not going to be successful unless the Church of Jesus Christ is one. It can't just be Potter's Hands that's doing this or Crossroads. We need to do this as a church, as one church, one body. We have a message that if the Spirit of God sets you free, you will be free indeed. And so we join with our brothers and sisters, and we pray and we wait for what God wants to do there. That's good. Amen? Okay. Pam, do you want to say anything about the Sunday school program? Or like, I know that we, what night, just so people know this, tell us a little bit about, this is exciting too.
I do, yeah. Okay, the Christmas program is underway. We are having some awesome, really awesome practices. The kids are learning their parts well, and we're including adults in the program this year, and it's going to be a fantastic show. We've not only got the pageant part of the program, we've also incorporated what we call God Rods into a performance to the song "Mary, Did You Know?" when we're done with the play. Come on out. 22nd of December. It's a Saturday night, and it will be at Lotus.
All right. Did you get that? Saturday, the 22nd of December at Lotus, and a lot of our children are involved in this, and a lot of our adults too. And there's going to be a lot of singing in the choir and all that good stuff. So, well, I just feel we've got to pray again. Is it okay? Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Thank you for your presence here. It's just a real sense of your love, and I thank you for everyone that you've brought into this room. And I know that you want to say to us that you are our deliverer, and you are our rescuer, and that you care about us so much that you don't want to leave us in the pit that we're in. You don't want to leave us in trouble. You want to shepherd your sheep. So as we open your word, I just pray that this will be your word, that the truth will be clear, that the Spirit and the word would join together and speak truth. Thank you, Jesus. I pray that we'll just listen to you today, that our minds wouldn't wander, that we wouldn't think that this applies to the guy down the road or down the row here, but that this applies to me, that you might actually be speaking words that I need to hear today. Remind us of your great and amazing love. And as we have prayed week after week, we prayed again that you, Holy Spirit, would lead us. Just lead us by your Spirit. Our eyes are open. Our eyes are open to see you. And we have determined, we have decided that we're going to follow you wherever you go. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, kind of teaching on the Holy Spirit as Shepherd King. If you remember that one of the ways that we learn about the Holy Spirit and about the leading of the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit acts and works as a shepherd. We know that in the Old Testament, the Father was considered a shepherd, and we got Psalm 23. We looked at that a little bit. The Father is a shepherd, and he shepherds his flock. And there's a number of different passages in the Old Testament that talks about God the Father being our shepherd. In the New Testament, very clearly, Jesus is our shepherd. He is called the Good Shepherd, right? He's the Good Shepherd. He lays down his life for his sheep. The one thing that's different about the shepherd who is the shepherd in the New Testament, Jesus, is he gives his life for us. But then in the Testament that we're in now, in this present tense Testament, we're really being led by the shepherd who is the Spirit of God. And we need to learn that and understand that. And it helps, at least it helps me when I start to think about the Holy Spirit as my shepherd. I start to understand better how he's working and what his purposes are in my life. He's a shepherd. He teaches, just like a shepherd would, or he guides me, or he protects me. Those are all functions of the Holy Spirit. If you read John 14 to 16, that's very clear in there. The Spirit teaches and he guides and he protects and he takes care of me and he encourages me. That's all the work of the Holy Spirit. And those are all motifs that fit in with him being a shepherd. He's my shepherd. He says, come and follow me like a shepherd would. Amen? He wants what's best for me, just like the Holy Spirit. We know in the New Testament, there's also a teaching about how the Holy Spirit functions to gather that which has been scattered. So there's the whole scattering of Israel, the whole scattering of the tribes, and that the Holy Spirit is all about bringing in the harvest. Bringing in the harvest. Bringing in those who are gone, those who are dispersed, those who are in different places. And we are in that testament right now. We are in the time, particularly as we grow more and more in the later stages, and we're closer and closer to end times. We're in end times. We're in that time when the nations will be gathered, and when people who are the elect, those who will believe, are going to be turning to Jesus Christ. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. That is the work of the shepherd, who is the Holy Spirit. Because what the Holy Spirit does is he draws people out of darkness into light. And many of us can testify to that today and say, yeah, that's me. Amen? Amen. I would not be here today. I would not be a Christian if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit gathering the scattered. If he wasn't chased after me, if he wouldn't have found me when I was lost, I wouldn't be here today, right? And that's the work that the Spirit is doing in through
through the church today. He does this work, thankfully, using us and including us and saying, why don't you shepherd with me? Because there's a whole world out there that needs to know Jesus. And there is hope. You believe that? The world doesn't believe in hope. We know that there's hope. We're the only ones who are going to be able to tell them that this is true, that our hope is in Jesus. Amen. Turn with me in Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34, we want to look at the shepherd who is our God, the shepherd who is the Holy Spirit. I want to just read the first few verses of that today, and then a little later on. Ezekiel 34, listen to these words. This is God speaking to you. Okay, it's not just some textbook that you're reading in, you know, some physics class. This is God's holy word, right? This is what he says to his people. The word of the Lord came to me, Ezekiel. Son of God, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who only take care of themselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds and clothe yourselves with the wool and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched or looked for them. Now, there's a whole lot more here. We're going to get to it again. Right? I just want to stop there because there's a big bite already. There's a pretty big teaching right there already. God says, you know, my people are sheep, and he sees us that way. He's always seen us that way. He sees us as sheep, right? And we need to be gathered in, and he wants us to follow him. And he's a God who loves us, just like the sort of the metaphor, the description that we have here in Ezekiel 34. God just loves us. He wants the sheep to be cared for. He wants us to be well cared for, and he says that's not been happening. And that's an indictment not just against the shepherds back in Ezekiel's day, but it's probably an indictment against the religious leaders for many, many generations, maybe even in our day today, that the sheep are overlooked, the sheep are abused, the sheep are not fed, and that a lot of leaders and a lot of people in leadership are just interested in their own kingdoms and their own well-being. And there's a finger that's being pointed here to the priests in the day of Ezekiel, to the prophets, to the elders and the tribe leaders of Israel, where God is saying, you have not done what I called you to do. I asked you to take care of the sheep, and you're not taking care of the sheep. All you're doing is taking care of you. All you care about is the advancement of your own goods and your own wealth. And because you won't take care of my sheep, you will be judged. And I will take care of them myself, he says. I will take care of my sheep. I will take care of my lambs. Because I love them. They are mine. They belong to me. So this is a word for shepherds. And probably a lot of you are going, I am so glad I'm not a shepherd. This is great. I sure hope Elvin is listening to this. We need Elvin to really hear this message because he's one of our shepherds. You know, we only have a couple. Maybe Stan and Elvin, they should be listening to this. And well, Gertie, she's kind of a shepherd, so she better hear this. Well, I got news for you today. Again, because we are New Testament believers, because of all the things that we've been learning over the last number of weeks, you are filled with the Holy Spirit, right? You should be. If you've accepted Christ, if you've received the Holy Spirit into your life, then you have been filled with the Holy Spirit. You are led by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that the Spirit of God is not only with me, but he is in me. Yeah. And if that's true, I've got news for you, and this may be good or bad, but the news is if the Holy Spirit is in you and if he is leading you and if the heart of the Holy Spirit is to shepherd the flock, then your heart needs to be to shepherd the flock. That's true. You need to take care of the sheep. And I think, you know, I grew up in a church for years and years thinking, well, there's only one shepherd here and the rest of us are kind of dumb sheep. We don't, you know, we might fit in here or there a little bit or give a little bit of money or whatever. But, you know, the real truth of this present tense testament that we're living in today is that you're all shepherds. Every one of you. We don't just have two or three. We're all shepherds. You're all filled with the Holy Spirit, and it is your job to gather the scattered, because that's how the Holy Spirit leads us. To gather the scattered, to go after the strays, to bind up the wounds. What did he say? Just can you put verse 4 up there? This is really important. And I don't want you to miss it. Verse 4. You have not strengthened, he says four things. You have not strengthened the weak, or healed the sick, or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays, or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. There's four things that he says that we should be doing as shepherds. And he says, and the last part of that is just an indictment. He says, well, instead of doing what you should be doing, what you have been doing is you've just been ruling harshly and brutally. And they were scattered because there was no shepherd. That's right. That's right. So let's just look at those just for a minute. Because, you know, when I read that, I read New Testament stuff. Those are things that we see should be happening when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. We should be seeing healing, right? We should be seeing deliverance. We should be binding people's wounds. We should be strengthening the weak. And we should be seeking the lost and looking for those who are strays. Amen? And I just remind you, too, this is just a quick aside, but you remember the first sermon that Jesus preached? You know what the first sermon was that Jesus preached? You know what it was? Nope. It was, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. Right? From Isaiah 51, 61. The Spirit, that was Jesus' first sermon. Read it in Luke. Right after he comes out of the desert, he stands up before everybody in the temple and he says, he quotes Isaiah 61. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of our Lord's favor. Hallelujah. So you see what I mean when I say that this sounds very New Testament? Because what you read in Ezekiel is fulfilled in Christ. We're called to strengthen the weak. You are called to do that. You are a shepherd. There's someone in your life who's weak. Someone here maybe that you know who's weak. Someone you can pray for. Someone you can visit. Someone you can say, you know, you're going to be okay because I've got your back and I'm praying for you and God loves you. And sometimes it's just something simple like that. Your job and my job is to strengthen the weak. Your job is to heal the sick, by the way. That's the second thing, right? That's my job too. There are people who are sick. There are people who are injured. There are people who are internally or emotionally injured and hurt. People who are physically hurt. We have the ability to pray for people and to infer the righteousness of God and the healing of Jesus in their lives, right? And that's not a job for the guy who's in the back row or for the guy who's the pastor. It's not just a job for that individual. It's for all of us. You can bring healing to the sheep that are under you or that you know. And that's what you need to be doing, because that's what he's called us to do, because we're filled and we're being led by the Holy Spirit. The other thing he says is that we bind up wounds. I like that one because it reminds me of the story of the Good Samaritan. Do you remember that one? He bound up the wounds of the man who was injured. He poured on oil and he bound up the wounds and he put him in an inn and he took care of him. Not everybody that we pray for gets healed like that. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes people need their wounds bound. They need a little oil put on it. Sometimes the healing takes a few weeks or a few months. It doesn't always happen immediately. I wish it did, but it doesn't. And I don't always know why. But we can always bind up wounds. Again, sometimes those wounds are emotional, or they go back way back to the wounds that we had when we were young, as little children. I know that Tim and Barb are really involved in binding up wounds in their prayer ministry. That's a good example. He's got sheep. You're a good example. You and Barb, you got sheep. Gertie's a great example. And I don't mean to just pick out a few of you, although I'm doing exactly that. We have a number of examples around here of people who do just that. They bind up the wounds of the people who they have the privilege of working with and who they love. And that's part of what we're supposed to be doing as shepherds. You are a shepherd. Are you getting that message? Did I say this before? You're a shepherd? Okay, I just want to make sure I said that. You're the shepherd. Quit looking at me as a shepherd. I am a shepherd, but you are the shepherd because you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and the shepherd is all about gathering the scattered, and you're to do that work. We bind up wounds, we heal the sick, we strengthen the weak, and we bring back those who are strays. There are lots of people out there who are strays. Some of them went to church years ago, and they got turned off. Some of them have good reason not to go back to church. There are people out there who are strays, and they're lost. It's our job as shepherds. Did I say that before, that you're shepherds? I said that, right? It's our job as shepherds to go after the sheep, right? We need to find the sheep. We need to find the strays. We need to search after them and find. Some of them are tied up in a bramble bush. Some of them are on the edge of a cliff and they're about to fall off. Some of them are in a pit. Some of them are in a pit. If you don't go and deliver them, if you don't go and reach your hand down and help them up, yeah, who's going to do that? And they're not going to be saved. Only God saves. Let's get that clear today. Only the great shepherd can ultimately save us, but thank God that he uses us. He says, I want you to be part of this. I want you to be part of the shepherding process. I want you to reach out to those who are on the streets. I want you to help people who are struggling in their addiction. I want you to be there when marriages are falling apart. Don't wait for someone else to do this. You do it. You do it. And just imagine. Imagine how strong this church would be if we did. Imagine if we actually took this seriously and we went, you know what? I'm going to take this personally. I'm a shepherd. I'm responsible for some people around here. I can help people. I can pray for them. I can maybe buy them a meal here and there. I can disciple them. I can teach them. I can find them when they're lost. Imagine how powerful the church would be. Oh, if we just did it. If we just did it. But you know, a lot of people, and maybe some of you here today are going, yeah, but I'm not qualified. You have no idea how many times I've heard that. I am not qualified. These guys know all the answers. You hearing that? He qualifies us. Oh, yeah, you are. Oh, yeah, you are. I can go on to the next point now. I don't need to finish this. You are qualified. I want to just make a point here today. This is really important. There's only one thing you need to be qualified to be a shepherd. And that one thing is, you need to have been somewhere along the line rescued as a lost sheep. Amen. If you've ever been rescued by Jesus, if you've ever been rescued by Jesus and you were a lost sheep and now you are no longer lost, you have the qualifications to be a shepherd to people around you. Give God a hand. Say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God doesn't have a whole long list of things and says you need to pass all these tests before you can shepherd or love or care for the people around you. And I want to remind you of something else. The prodigal son, or the lost son, the father never called him that. You know that? The father never said, oh, there's my prodigal son coming home. And later on, years down, he didn't go, well, there's my older son, and there's the prodigal who used to be the prodigal. He never talked about him as a lost son. He never talked about him as a prodigal son. He talked about him as his son. He's my son. His older brother, on the other hand, talked about him as the prodigal, the son who went off in wild living with prostitutes. He gives the whole description of what his brother's done, like he was even there. He's just making all kinds of assumptions. But I'm bringing that up because there's a lot of us who think because we were lost at one time or that we were prodigal at one time, we still hold on to that identity. And I'm telling you today, you need to let go of that identity. You are no longer a prodigal son. And even the way we talk about our children sometimes, we say, well, that I have these sons, they're prodigal. You know, I got these ones that go to church, these are the prodigals. Quit it. Let's stop talking that way. Because I've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And because I am no longer lost, I am no longer a prodigal. Right? We got to watch about what comes out of our mouths. A lot of times we'll say, I am, and then we'll fill in the blank. You know, when you say an I am statement, you're talking about your essential identity. And you're proclaiming it and you're declaring it. I am an addict. No, you're not. I am depressed. No, you struggle with depression. I get that. And maybe you struggle with addiction or you were an addict. But I am a son. I am a son of the one true King, and that's my identity. That is my identity, right? And the reason why that's important is because unless you believe that, unless you step in faith and say, I am no longer lost, you will never shepherd anybody because you'll always think you're not qualified. What good would a lost sheep do to other lost sheep? You can't help them, right? And here's the beauty. Here's the beauty of God's teaching. Your qualifications, and hear this today, you are so qualified. If you were ever lost, you are so qualified to shepherd the lost, because you've been there. You were there. You were right where they are now. You were in that hole. You were stuck in that bramble bush. You know how to get out, because you got out through the grace of Jesus. Right? That's how God works. That's how God works. He says you're qualified. You've got the credentials and all the credentials you need. You can help people because they are exactly where you were before you were rescued. Isn't that great? I went to seminary. I went to school like 7-8 years. I went to school with a lot of people that are really qualified to write theological books. I want to tell you this morning that there's a lot of you who are way more qualified to be shepherds than some of them. Not all of them. A lot of them were great guys. Don't get me wrong. But you are shepherds. You are equipped by the great shepherd to take care of other people. And it might just be something really easy and simple. It doesn't mean you need to make them your roommate. Right? It might just be that you call someone up or you give them a text or you involve yourself in their lives in some way. You remind them that they're loved by God. You remind them that they're valuable. You remind them that they've been saved. It's your job. And you have the qualifications. Anyone who's ever been rescued by Jesus, you have the qualifications. A couple of weeks ago, someone said to Crystal, they were working in the kitchen, and she said to Crystal, you know, I'm going to serve. I'm going to work. I'm going to do some of the work here in the kitchen. I haven't done that yet, but I've been around here for a few months now. It's time for me to do something. And I was encouraged by that. That was a good word. It's time for some of you. Right? It's time for some of us to become part of the solution and realize that we are all equipped with the power of the Holy Spirit. And there's things that we can do. There's things that we can do to help others and to shepherd other people. Sometimes, and you're going to bear with me today, and if I'm being offensive, I'm trying to offend you all equally, okay? But sometimes people become Christian and they give their heart to Jesus, and it's almost like, and maybe you're hearing some of the frustration from me today, but it's almost like they get a rush at getting the attention and giving their life to Jesus. There's a rush. There's something exciting about being rescued, snatched out of the fire. And it's almost like they go back to the fire again because they just want to experience it again. So they get snatched out of the fire again. And then they're doing good for a couple of weeks and they're praising God. And then they miss a couple of weeks of church. And then they got to get snatched out of the fire again because it's an adrenaline booster. and because they love to get snatched, and everyone cheers and prays for them. I'm just telling you, you know what? That's not maturity. You've been getting snatched out of the fire for the last few years. It's time for you to start snatching other people out of the fire. And that's what it looks like for the body of Christ to be mature, right? That you are taking care of someone else rather than always being the person that needs the attention, always being the person who needs the prayers. And you are equipped here. And that's the point I'm trying to make. You know what? You don't need to wait. You're already there. You're already rescued. There's someone that God will put in your pathway. Someone God will put in your pathway that you can shepherd and care and tend and find. Some stray will come across your way. You agree with that? Okay. I'm going to just change some things up, so I'm not going to go to some of those passages. I just feel God's kind of leading me in a little different direction. I'm going to tell you this story, and then I want to play a song that, man, it's just ripped my heart out all week. But let me tell you the story first. It has Mary and Mo. Are they here? Mary, you said to me, where are you, Mary? There you go, yeah. Mary said to me on Tuesday, I really like your preaching, but you don't talk about your dog enough. So, Mary, this is for you. A couple weeks ago, my German shepherd named Jazz had puppies. And I mean puppies in the plural. She ended up having 13 puppies. Wow. And I felt like that guy at the supermarket who pulls out one tin can and they all start falling down. I'm going, stop the madness. They've got to end. They can't keep coming. There's 5 and then 7 and 9 and then there was 12 and then there was 13. They just keep coming. I don't know how to stop this, right? Anyways, I did a foolish thing. I didn't mean to. But my son and his daughter, her 6-year-old Olivia, was over that night, and I was holding one of the smaller ones. And we had another dog who was a big black dog, and she's always been jealous. And I thought this would be a good idea, is just have her smell this puppy just so that she could get used to it. So I just kind of brought it close, and man, I tell you, that dog was quick and just and bit the back of the neck and ripped about 2 inches of skin in a flap. Yeah. Not my finest moment. I'm going to get to that. You just got to wait. Wait for it. So anyways, there's all kinds of screaming going on. My granddaughter is just howling because there's this big red, pink, bloody mess. And I'm in the bedroom and literally I'm going, I don't know if I should just bonk this thing on the head or what I should do here. I did not know what to do. My puppy is just screaming his head off. Which is making my granddaughter scream even harder. Anyways, just to kind of back up a bit. That dog is now in someone else's wonderful home, the dog who bit. Couldn't keep him around anymore, so don't worry about that one. He's someone from Drayton Valley came and picked that one up. But I brought the little puppy. I brought the little puppy to the vet, and the vet sewed him up. Her up, I should say. And I had some pictures, but they didn't work today. But what I've had to do now for the last just about three weeks, I've had to sit with that puppy 3 times a day with a little bottle. There's a little tiny bottle about this big, and put a little milk into him because he's just small and he got a bad start to life and he was injured and he was hurt and she just needed a little bit of milk 3 times a day. So I had to take care. I had to tend that puppy. I had to feed it. I had to bring him to the vet twice to get him just fixed up and to bandaged her, I should say. And the reason why I'm telling you that story is because that's kind of what the whole point is about today. That there are other people kind of like my puppy who are out there who are probably in your life. Maybe some of you are here today who are kind of like that puppy and you're hurt. And some big, ugly, black demon of a whatever it is has taken a bite out of your neck. I know that I've had that in my life before. You get your person too close to that enemy, and he'll bite whatever he can. Isn't that true? And when that happens, now listen to me. When that happens, there are stitches that need to happen. There's bandages that need to happen. There's some extra feeding that needs to happen. There's a lot of love and support and comfort that needs to happen. But there's a day coming, and I'm telling you this, I wish I could show you the pictures, because this little puppy is just, my granddaughter named him Brave. We're going to call him Brave, Grandpa. I says, you betcha, girl. And he is brave, or she is brave. And she is growing and doing well, and her wounds are almost all healed. And she will not forever be known as the injured puppy. That's what I wanted to say. She will not forever be known. The other 12 are all just regular puppies, but we call this one the injured puppy. She's not going to be the injured puppy forever. She's just going to be the puppy. This is meant for your dog here, by the way. Just, I wanted to have a story just exactly that your dog could relate to. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that you won't be the injured puppy either. You won't be the hurt person. You won't be the broken person forever. Not if you really follow Jesus. And that the key to changing that identity is that you start becoming the shepherd rather than the lost sheep. Are you following that? That's what I'm trying to say today. You are not the lost sheep. You are not the prodigal. That is not your identity. Your identity is that you have been purchased by the blood of Jesus. Now, maybe for a while you need to be in intensive care. Maybe for a while you need to be comforted. For a while you need to be the person who gets the attention and where everyone's praying over you and everyone is loving you and encouraging you. For a while, that's okay. But only for a while. Because that is not your identity. Your identity is that you are a new creation. A new creation in Christ. And he heals. He heals us when we're sick. He binds up our wounds. He binds up our wounds. He makes us strong when we're weak. Because he is the great shepherd of his sheep. We're going to play this song. It's just, if you're ready for it, just give me 1 second here. I want you to listen to these words. Because I believe that maybe there's a few of us here today that you're just finding yourself in big trouble. You're way over your head. Whatever it is in your life, you're way over your head. It's way too big. You can't even imagine. You know, it's kind of like when I held that little puppy in my hand. I didn't know what to do with it. I just almost did the wrong thing. Almost. Well, maybe you're feeling like that this morning, and you can't even see the solution. You don't think there even is a solution to the trouble you're in or the problem that you're dealing with. And I want to tell you, beyond any shadow of a doubt today, that is a lie from the enemy. There is hope for you. There is hope for you. Who wants to rescue you? He has rescued me. You got to listen to me. I'm telling you the truth. He has rescued me from that pit. I had my neck in his jaw, but not anymore. Not anymore. So, yeah. Just play it. The little boat that you're in, you'll never get out of that boat unless you grab onto the rope that he's sending you. You can keep throwing the rope, and you keep throwing it back, and your situation will never change. You need to do your part. God doesn't do everything for us. He does everything with us. So he's throwing you a rope today. He's throwing you a rope. He's saying it's time. This song was for you. This message was for you. It's time that you get rescued. And if you feel that, you know in your heart that's true, I'm going to ask you to stand in a minute. Just stand up. Say, God, I'm ready to be rescued. I'm ready to hold on to the rope. Why don't you stand? Thank you, God. It's time. It's good. You know, when you stand up, you can have a big smile on your face because there's about to be some huge changes taking place. All because he loves you. He loves you so much, he won't leave you in this mess. And I speak from experience on that. He will not leave you in the mess that you're in if you turn to him. Because that is how good he is. That's how good he is. Listen to what he says. And by the way, the rest of you shepherds, will you stand around these people, please? Let's do that. Stand around them, and I want you to hear what God is saying. Just play it again, Cody. He says this, and this is in Ezekiel 34, verse 11. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep, and I myself will look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered sheep, when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them. Did you hear that? I will rescue them. I myself, verse 50, I myself will tend my sheep. I will have them lie down, declares the Sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. I will shepherd the flock. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to pray for those who have stood up. And I'm sorry if someone's not praying for you. Put your hand up. If you need someone to pray for you and there's no one around you and they didn't see that, put your hand up. We're going to be shepherding. We're going to take care of each other for a few moments here. Anyone needing prayer, put your hand up right now. Jaron's right there. Someone stand around him. Will you please do that? Come on, don't be afraid. You are shepherds. You are shepherds. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. I will rescue you. I will rescue you. Thank you, Jesus. We need you, God. We're in trouble, God. Thank you, Lord. There you go. Thank you, God. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, my little sheep. You don't need to be afraid. He's sending out an army. He's sending out an army. He's sending out an army to search for you. God, just hear us. Please, God, show your mercy, God. Just declare a new day today, new beginning. Thank you, Jesus.
I will send out an army to find you in the middle of the darkest night. It's true.
Praying.
You are not hidden.
This is good. Thank you, God.
There's never been a moment you were forgotten. You are not hopeless.
Not hopeless. Great hope.
Though you have been broken, your innocence stolen. I hear you. Underneath your breath, I hear your SOS, your SOS. I will send out an army to find you in the middle of the darkest night. It's true.
Isn't God good?
No,
he says, I love you. I'm never going to let you go. I rescue you today. You are no longer bound. You're no longer bound.
I'll be your shelter.
You are free. And since you're free, live like you're free. Amen. Live like you're free. Let's just sing it together.
I will send out an army to find you in the middle of the darkest night. I will rescue you. I will never stop marching to reach you.
Stand up. Let's stand up. You say amen to that truth? You say amen that He is my rescuer? He is my deliverer? You can just turn that down now, okay? He is my deliverer. Remember that God loves you and He rescued you so that you could rescue others. The Lord bless you and keep you. Let's just lift up our hands to Him. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious to countenance upon you and give you His peace. Amen. God bless you.